realized I was not alone. I heard them talk about the feelings I was afraid to share.
Recovery is what happens in NA meetings.
It didn't matter what drug or how much I used. In Narcotics Anonymous, I learned that it is possible to stop using drugs.
I don't have to do it alone. Call Narcotics Anonymous. We can help. 631-884-9500.
And we promise they won't speak so loud when you call. It's 6 o'clock, actually 5:59 and change. And time for WUSB Stony Brook to present Off the Wall right now. Well, it's another Tuesday evening, and we're here to join you and to plod through the craziness together. It's another edition of Off the Wall. Emmanuel here, joined tonight by Kyle.
Hi there.
And what a week. What a week. We have a new prime minister. We have a new prime minister.
Prime Minister Boris.
Boris Johnson. Prime Minister Boris Johnson is our new prime. You notice how we're saying it's we. Because we've never actually said who we are citizens of. Have we? Have we ever actually given out that, you know, either we're American or we're British? You don't know. You don't know what we are. So, yeah, that could be our prime minister. Brand new.
Yeah. No, there's no disputing that. That would be something to look into if you were so inclined. But for our sake, yeah, it's an exciting period, and good to keep things fresh. I think, you know, it just you know, you gotta pass that proverbial torch, and yeah, like Eric Swalwell said.
Yeah, except that he's doused in gasoline when the torch is being passed to him.
Yeah, he is pretty well flammable, inflammable. Well,
it means
anyway.
The same thing. Those two words mean the same thing for some reason, but he's, you know, I've thought he looked like Trump for a very long time. Now people are finally saying it because now he's in power. I'm not looking forward to seeing the two of them together saying they're garbage at the same time. It's going to be scary. It's going to be like he's reproducing.
Yeah, it is like there's cell division going on, some kind of mitosis or whatnot. And yes, his biological clone gone wrong over there in the UK is saddling up and taking the reins.
Yeah,
for
you see a picture of him. I guess they've met in the past. You see them shaking hands, and it looks just really creepy and weird to see the two of them shaking hands, because it's like, you know, mirror image there.
Yeah.
And the headline: Boris Johnson to meet Donald Trump three times in first 100 days in office as U.S. president praises him. Boris Johnson is poised to meet the U.S. president three times before the U.K. leaves the EU in exactly 100 days' time, as Donald Trump referred to him as Britain's Trump. Wow. The newly elected Tory leader, who will become prime minister on Wednesday after Theresa May tenders her resignation to the Queen, is not going to take any summer holiday to prepare for delivering Brexit do or die on October 31st. In a bid to beef up the so-called special relationship, he will make a visit to the U.S., one of his first foreign policy priorities, after the president said he will be a great prime minister. We're glad you're enjoying The Telegraph. Register or subscribe to continue reading. Already a subscriber.
That's not the story.
Damn it.
I hate
when that happens.
We can interpret the
rest.
Why
is it I can never read a news story on the web anymore without somebody wanting me to subscribe to something?
It makes for a very cluttered consumption of news.
Don't go on the web, okay, if you're not going to share what you put on the web. All right? If you want to sell subscriptions, do that somewhere else or make it clear from the start. I wanted to read the rest of that story, and now I can't.
Yeah, it's quite disruptive. Yeah. It really is.
So. You have 50 pounds?
50 pounds. I'm not paying 50 pounds. No. No.
Well, then we can't read the rest of the story.
No.
I don't even know how I would pay that.
You know, I'm sure there will be a follow-up. There will be a follow-up and perhaps a kerfuffle and, you know, some reason to revisit this. Until then, yeah, let's just leave it at that. You can probably all guess where that will soon wind up. But, you know, we're in it together.
Yeah.
Just try to remember.
Well, you know, what's interesting, though, is if you type Boris Johnson and Donald Trump into a search engine, you get a wide assortment of different stories. Don't lump Boris Johnson together with Donald Trump. Boris Johnson turns down Donald Trump meeting. Boris Johnson insults Donald Trump as mayor. Why Boris Johnson is more dangerous than Donald Trump. It's a whole day worth of scary reading that you could easily find yourself spending a day, continuing.
Yeah, yeah. And our listeners are always welcome to contribute what they find while they're reading up on this stuff.
Boris Johnson's father predicts son will get along with Trump.
Oh, that's lovely.
They're basically the same person. I don't know if he said that, but he probably did.
No, it's beautiful. We'll be watching their burgeoning relationship blossom very closely.
Thing is, you know, Johnson is saying that they're out on October 31st, deal or no deal. And a no-deal Brexit. Wow. That's something that Theresa May was basically, and everybody, whenever they took a vote, was basically saying, there's no way we can let that happen because that'll destroy the country. And he's like, you know what? We're going to let it happen. So in 3 months, it's going to be a very interesting chain of events going on. Only 3 months. It's only 3 months to the end of October. How is that possible? Wait a minute. July 31st, August 31st, September. Yeah, that's what happens.
Brace yourselves.
Fall just jumps on you like that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. He can't take a summer vacation. Mm-mm. Nope. And you think the Queen might be able to do something. You know, he's got to go to the Queen. Well, Theresa May has to go to the Queen first and tender her resignation. The Queen could say, I absolutely refuse to accept this. Can she do that? Or is it just a formality? And if it's a formality, why even bother doing it? And then once she leaves and she's clear, then Boris Johnson comes in and says, I've got a government, and makes the Queen sign off on that or something. It's all really bizarre and weird. But it just seems like, you know, there's a potential for somebody to step in and have common sense reign, just, you know, for old time's sake.
Right. Would that be some inevitable referendum or referendi or something that gets put forth in the House of Commons and sort of seeks to bypass it through some other formality? I guess that remains to be seen. I don't know. I mean, the Queen may be all for leaving anyway, so.
I think Donald Trump is clearly out of his mind. Okay, we found it. We found the quote from Boris Johnson. At the time, he was the mayor of London, and basically he was referring to candidate Trump's 2015 call to ban Muslims from entering the United States. In response to the Republican hopeful's early criticisms of London, which Trump erroneously described as having no-go areas teeming with Islamic extremism, Johnson said Trump betrayed a quite stupefying ignorance that makes him, frankly, unfit to hold the office of President of the United States. Yes, that's our new prime minister.
I think a lot of people have been saying that for some time now.
Yeah, but the prime minister of England said it. Wow, I mean, I'm impressed.
Striking, really is.
Okay, well, that's a bit of news. That just happened today. It happened this morning. Early this morning, they announced the results of the election. And the election, it wasn't really like a popular election. It was the Conservative Party. So it was a percentage of people, maybe about a quarter of the percent of the country or something was eligible to vote, maybe even less. Hmm. And because the Conservative Party, the Tories are in power, they get to run the country. So the people that could vote for the leader of that party also are voting for the next prime minister. So we'll see how long he lasts in that position. It's not like in this country where we just kind of have to grin and bear it for 4 years. Until something else happens.
Wow. That's an interesting distinction between the two systems. But yeah, we'll see it play out then.
I'm just reading through other headlines here. Trump falsely tells auditorium full of teens, the Constitution gives him the right to do whatever I want. Yeah, he told an auditorium full of teens, the Constitution gives him the right to do whatever he wants. I wish I could read the story, but it's a Washington Post story, and I'd have to buy a subscription to the Washington Post to be able to read the damn story, so did I don't know what that was all about.
Did they correct him?
I don't know. I can only read that headline. It's all I can do.
They ought to have.
Boy, you know, I miss the days when the web was open, and you could click on things and go places and read things. It doesn't work that way anymore. Gotta pay. Gotta pay everything.
Aren't there cash stories? Isn't there still
This hasn't had a chance to be cash. It just came
Google
out.
Cash? We'll have to look into this. There ought to be a way around this.
You know, you're right. I'm going to try to find a way around it. Why don't you entertain the folks while I try and bypass their security?
Entertainment.
Ooh, they got me.
Let's see. They got you didn't get it that fast.
No.
I didn't
get it that fast. They got me that fast.
Well, they got me. I thought you said you're in.
No, I almost was in, but they're one step ahead. Don't distract me.
All right. Well, I mean, with all due respect, I mean the newspapers, they are trying to advance their sales interests in this brave new technological world, and it's been I think, a bumpy ride for the industry. You broke in?
I did.
You're in the Washington Post.
Well, I am. I'm reading the Washington Post story. Thank you to the San Francisco Gate. Is that the name of the paper?
No.
Well, it says sfgates.com.
Yeah, it's – I don't know what it is.
That's not the San Francisco Chronicle.
No, it's like a fake – I think it's some kind of –
Well, they're printing the Washington Post story, so I can read
it. It's like
now.
Reprinting. Is it like a? It's maybe some kind of news syndication, like aggregator or something. I don't really know anything about them, but I've seen them in results for news stories.
Well, it got me around the restriction, and I can actually read something. For
bona fide, same story, same Washington Post story.
Yeah, it is.
Okay,
it is word for word.
Brilliant.
Well, at least the words that I saw. Donald Trump believes being president means he has the right to do whatever he wants. That's the message he delivered, not for the first time, on Tuesday while addressing a crowd of teenagers and young adults at the Turning Point USA Teen Student Action Summit in Washington. That spells something obscene if you spell it out, but so don't. There are numerous viral video clips from Trump's 80-minute speech at the conference, but one of the most interesting bits came as he discussed Article 2 of the U.S. Constitution, which describes the powers of the president. Then I have an Article 2 where I have the right to do whatever I want as president, he said. But I don't even talk about that. Wow.
Let's just all completely ignore the fact that he did just talk about that in mentioning it.
Trump appears to be discussing Article 2 of the Constitution, which at no point indicates that the president has the power to do what he or she chooses. As the Washington Post Aaron Blake notes, this is not the first time Trump has made such an assertion about Article 2, typically in the context of the investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election led by former special counsel Robert Mueller. More on him Mueller. In a moment. Speaking to ABC in June about allegations that Trump wanted to fire Mueller, the president said Article 2 allows me to do whatever I want. Article 2 would have allowed me to fire him. Earlier this month, Trump again mentioned a thing called Article 2. Nobody ever mentions Article 2. It gives me all these rights at a level nobody has ever seen before. We don't even talk about Article 2, he said. Wow. He keeps saying that over and over again. It's like, you know, no one ever actually explained it to him. So we'll see where that goes. That's a lot of fun.
He's learning. He's learning. It's on-the-job training. And
Kyle, he's not learning. It's been almost 3 years now. He's not learning. He's getting worse.
Yeah, you're right.
He really is.
Okay. Well, I wanted to kid myself for a second. You know, I had an idea.
Mm-hmm.
Say, for instance, you know, you're a library. I was just thinking about how to read news stories. Like, if you had a public library card, wouldn't you be able to access news stories or something? Or better yet, maybe a university library. And then that led me to start thinking about the fact that we're on campus here at actually a very prestigious university in Suffolk County. It happens to be Stony Brook. So I figure, you know, they must have a library as well. And what if you were running a college radio station,
right,
and perhaps the prestige of the university might extend to the radio station, mm-hmm, in so far as providing radio station staff, maybe for instance, people who are volunteer staff doing a talk show, maybe that talks about prescient news items.
You know, that could be us. That could be interpreted as us.
I just feel like we might fit that category, and, mm-hmm, and what, you know, I mean, say for instance, there was like some kind of login or like a code,
right.
Or a way that that we could be sort of a guest, being that we're producers here, but it really was an account provided for other staff like us, volunteers, you name it, here at the radio station, and then we could all sort of share that and really use it for the express purpose of providing our audience in the greater Long Island area here within our, and also around the world, mm-hmm, with prescient news without all this, you know, jarbled junk, you know, in the way. Would that work?
There needs to be something like that, yes, because we spend way too much time entering credentials. My God, it drives me crazy.
I mean, we're not asking to put like a satellite dish on the roof for the AP or something.
We have a satellite dish on the roof for the AP.
All right. Well, I'm just just spitballing here. I mean, the university, the library, I know they have periodicals. I know they probably have physical newspapers at the university library.
You cannot beat physical newspapers. And, you know, fine, whatever. Put your restrictions in my way. Keep me from reading things online. I can always go to Starbucks and read the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal there. They can't stop that. All right? So that's the kind of thing that you don't ever see disappear because that's permanent. So, yeah, I'll always outsmart you.
Wait. Did you just say, where did you say? Coffee?
I didn't mean to give a brand name out. Yeah.
You just mentioned a newspaper thing, a coffee place.
Right, so
weren't you telling me there was something you wanted to, you've heard something about that?
No. You might be like mixing me up with somebody else.
That, you know, when you're in line at a certain coffee place, uh-huh. It's like a chain from Seattle, and there's these, like, little racks there that usually have, like, the day's newspaper.
Yeah, newspaper stands, racks, whatever they call
them. Yeah, you were telling me you wanted to buy one, and I was like, well, you can't buy one. They're like, store furniture. But you're like, no, they're stopping, so they're going to be available?
I didn't say that. Are you saying that?
Okay. I might have.
Are you trying to make me feel like I have nothing left?
Maybe I heard something.
Maybe you did. Maybe you're imagining things. No, but you always have newspapers in public spaces. You always will. Yeah.
On trains.
On trains.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes there's a train. There's on the LIRR. If you're on a train that commuters, people that are, you know, heading in or out of the city. Yeah, you can find
it. That's because somebody left it behind. It's not like they sell it on the newspaper.
It's complimentary. It's complimentary.
It's garbage. Complimentary garbage. Yeah, someone left it there. It's not the same thing.
Well,
it would be nice to have a newspaper salesman on the train. I might buy a paper then.
Another man's trash, or another person, a human's trash is another person's treasure. Yeah.
Okay.
That's the saying.
Yeah, that the saying?
Yeah.
It's a wonderful saying.
It's politically...
Well,
yeah.
Okay, you know, when I used to go to the city, I used to go by train, I used to jump off at Huntington, because you had to jump off at Huntington to switch to the electric train, but I always would jump off and buy a Newsday and a New York Times from the newspaper guy there. I always would do that. And then on the way back, I'd always buy... Why would I buy the same papers? Well, apparently I would. Maybe I was buying the next day's papers. I don't know, but I do that at Penn Station, and I have them to read out on the train all the way out to the island. That's what people used to do.
International edition?
No, you didn't have the international edition here.
Okay, all right.
We're local, but still, the New York Times alone, you can read that for a couple hours easily.
Right.
And it was great fun.
Cover to cover.
Informative. It made me educated.
All right. Was there any other news stories that you'd like me to react to and
no, I don't
converse?
I'm not sure if they're really. We had a bit of an adventure ourselves. We went down to New Jersey over the weekend.
That was international. That was a different country.
It felt like a different country for sure. It was the hottest weekend or hottest couple of days of the year, something like 101 degrees. It was humid. Everybody was dreading this. Everyone was saying, oh, my God, we're never going to get through this. It's horrible. Global warming, all that kind of thing. And what did we do? We decided to go down to southern New Jersey and go to an auto show, of all things, a place that has no indoors, basically out on a dragway. It couldn't have been hotter, but it was also a lot of fun, somehow.
Yeah. We ventured down and went to a raceway and watched a lot of really polished, clean cars compete and all sorts of fun activities around that. And, it was a kind of a diversion and curiosity and something to do. I mean, what else would you do in the middle of a heat wave?
Stay inside and try to be cool is what you would do, I would think.
Okay. Well, but...
Well, you asked.
Second to that,
Second to that, I'd go to a movie theater, okay, and I'd just sit inside and watch matinees all day long.
Okay, what if...
Third, I'd go to a mall, and I hate malls, but I would go to the mall because, you know, at least they keep it air-conditioned. Fourth,
but what if your car
I would crash somebody's wedding I don't know and just try to make friends. All right. And
what if your
fifth,
car...
I might go to the beach. I might actually go swimming, but stay in the water. All right. Sixth, I would hop on a train or a bus or something and go somewhere else. All right. Seventh, I would stay in bed all day long and just kind of wait it out, you know. But yeah, you know, I would definitely consider this as well.
All right. Well, when you buy the tickets, you kind of commit to it. So it seemed fun.
Didn't check the weather when you bought the tickets.
When you buy things in advance, you know, you don't know if it's going to be a heat wave. I heard the music festival over the weekend, they were having all kinds of warnings, and they were setting up sprinkler systems.
Great South Bay, yes. But they have a bay.
Yeah.
that refreshes people a little bit.
Yeah.
But no, this was great. I have absolutely no regrets. It was fun. The people are crazy. I've never hung out with this kind of crowd of people before. We're basically, just to give you an example, we have a lot of audio we're going to play at some point, so we're not going to spend too much time talking about this. But there's one thing that they do, which is particularly insane, where they basically have a burnout contest. Where you've heard people burn out, but you've never actually seen it refined into an art form, where somebody is there in front of a crowd of people, and they're trying to make as much smoke as possible and as much noise as possible, as much damage as possible. And I guess they win a trophy if they're number one, right? Is that how it works?
Yeah, and I think the thing that gets lost in that is that everybody else who competes does just as much damage to their car. The brake system, the tires, you name it. Maybe even set things on fire. And if they lose, they still have all this damage. I think the prize was a clutch. I think you got a new clutch.
Which you would need. You certainly would need that. So yeah. I'm not sure. Is this for people who really love their cars or people who really hate their cars?
I think maybe it's a mix of pride. They're very proud of their cars and their ability to just throw new parts at them when they participate in something like this. But I'm not entirely sure. There weren't that many participating either, and I think that's also a mark of people who have pride in their cars and don't want to have to fix things constantly.
Well,
but
at least that was in the evening. They did that in the evening. We were walking around for two afternoons in basically imagine a parking lot filled with cars.
It was very hard to walk around.
It was
a lot of people.
Extremely hard. They had one air conditioned room, which was a bar, so you had to go in there occasionally and buy some water or something and hang out for an hour. And that gave you strength, but watching cars race down the dragway was entertaining, and you'd kind of acclimated so that you weren't moving around too much and you were okay.
We also left. We explored the area. There was a wildlife refuge and some other neighboring small rural areas in Jersey there. So, and of course, vehicles being there, a lot of them had air conditioning, and that's what I was exclaiming about earlier, is if you had air conditioning, maybe this wouldn't be as crazy an idea. And our vehicle had such a thing, and it proved to be quite helpful.
I think there might have been twice as many people there. We just didn't see them because they were in their cars the whole time.
Yeah, there's like a steady rotation of people going out for drives to air condition themselves and come back and try to survive for another couple
hours.
It was
weird because it was kind of like taking a trip to Mars or what's the hot one? Venus? Where basically, you're protected. You're inside your car. It's got air conditioning. Then you go into a room that's got air conditioning. And you just try and stay away from the hostile environment as much as possible. Then once you do go out in it, though, you feel it. You feel it quickly. And everybody's going through the same thing. And it really was almost the entire country going through this, which is fairly unprecedented.
Lots of spaceships, yes.
Yeah. We took a couple other trips, too. We went down to Philadelphia. We went down to Philadelphia on, Saturday night, just to get cheesesteaks, okay? Because I know a place, it's really good, and I haven't been there in years.
Oh, it was so good.
It was so good. But what wasn't so good was the parking ticket we got when we did that. And, you know, it's we parked on the street, right? And we looked at the sign carefully. There was something like four or five different signs. 2-hour parking for these hours, 3-hour parking, no standing up until this time. Basically a bunch of different rules. We looked them all over and we figured the whole thing out. And yes, you know what? This is a parking space. Wow. So we had a great couple of cheesesteaks, hung out for about 20 minutes or so, came back out. And sure enough, we got a ticket on our damn car. Actually, talked to some cops about this, in a pleasant way, because I was curious. How do we get a ticket when there's no sign? And this, their answer was, there's a temporary sign, but all these people, they ripped them down, so they're not there.
It was something. They said something to the effect of like, some of our other citizens aren't quite as, or some of our less considerate citizens are having a. occasionally these opportunities to tear them down or whatever. Uh-huh. I mean, it's just some balderdash excuse. Uh-huh.
Yeah, but the thing is, you know, if the sign isn't there, how do you give somebody a ticket? How are they supposed to know the sign was supposed to be there? It's a paper sign, for God's sake. And, you know, the logic behind this, they clear people off the streets at midnight because they're drunk. Well, wait, that doesn't make any sense. So what, you pile them into their cars and tell them to go somewhere else? That doesn't sound very smart. But whatever, it's your rule. I would respect the rule if I knew about the rule. There's no way to know about the rule. There's no sign up.
Yeah, and it's not suitable. If people are able to tear them down, you need to reprint and put more permanent signs up. And another thing that would be, I think, nicer is if you're going to turn this area, this part of town, into a pedestrian mall in a certain period of the weekend hours when people are leaving bars and so on, put some retractable bollards or some planters, make it a permanent pedestrian walkway, mm-hmm. or a retractable bollards like they have in some European cities, so that you can close it off and it doesn't, you know, seem like you're under siege.
Yeah, that's true. You know, if you're going to do it every week, put up a sign, a permanent sign. It's not that big, and you probably pay less for the permanent sign than you will for having to reprint all the paper ones that people apparently are tearing down. It was weird though, because you know the cop was basically, yeah, you know, that's the rule. It's like we should have known about it, even though we're not from there. How would we possibly know about it? He couldn't really seem to grasp that wasn't fair. It just that's the way it was.
And the female officer piped up about how a bunch of other cars had been towed, and it sort of implies that, like, we're lucky that we just got off with a ticket.
And then other people, they got shot, and people, yeah, they got dumped in the river.
And I'm going to stomp on your neck if you keep talking to me.
Uh-huh. No, they were nice. They were very nice. They were like 12, but it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it was good to see them have something right out of high school.
But, yeah, so, you know, actually, I didn't tell you this. I tweeted about this, and I heard back from the parking people, and they said, yeah, you know, we think you should appeal this. We need a good laugh. No, they didn't say that, but they did encourage us to appeal. So, you know what? We have pictures. We have a lot of facts. I don't see how you could possibly expect somebody to pay this. If you can prove that there was no sign there, I mean, if that is the case, then you know what? When are you violating the rules? How are you ever supposed to know if there's no way to find out? It seems a very simple question, a very Kafka-esque type of a thing.
You need to give people an opportunity to respect the rules, especially mm-hmm. out of town. You know, in a place that people do visit, you know, there's a lot of a confluence of different states in the area that are going to, you know, inevitably have visitors stopping in, and it's like, it's great you're enforcing this over local disputes, you know, because it's a high traffic area, but you need to think more comprehensively and like I said, give people an opportunity, because we looked around in mm-hmm. vain.
Well, we spent a good 5 minutes looking at all the signs, making sure, because it did seem too good to be true. It was right near the place we wanted to go. You know, an extra $75 for cheesesteaks, it's not really that good a deal. It's probably worth it, but no, we shouldn't have to do that. We shouldn't have to.
Well, there was a very busy moment, right, and you know, tough to navigate just mm-hmm. to like find side streets and park and in like any sense, like it's just having that many people, lots to dodge, lots of people, you know, having a good time. So we wanted to kind of be situated and done with it so that we could get out in as much time.
And there were plenty of cops there who could have warned us at the time if they knew about the rules, but nobody did. Everybody let us park there, and there were other cars parked there. Didn't seem to be a big deal. We followed the signs. I don't know.
So then,
if you've had a similar experience, we'd like to hear your advice, your opinions, your experiences. You can call us 631-632-9872. Have you had a parking ticket that didn't seem fair? Did you appeal it? Did you win? Did you lose? Did this tell you something about our society? Do you have any advice for us? Matt, you can't call because you're staff, and also because you get too many parking tickets, and also because you get too angry about them.
Yeah.
So, that's not good for you. So... No, it's true. I mean, you know, we get victimized a lot in our daily lives.
Yeah, we were thinking of other staff members.
I'm thinking of a lot of people, actually. Yes, but parking tickets. That's like, you know, it's a very simple thing.
Yeah. But it was enjoyable otherwise, and good to be able to hop around and get to another place like that in the evening.
And then the next day, we stopped at Atlantic City, which I hadn't done in many, many years.
That was interesting. I've never, ever been there. The boardwalk and just all of this gaming infrastructure, it's pretty incredible. And they had windmills wind turbines and all this sort of other interesting stuff. A lot of estuary, like delta and grasslands. I guess you pointed out the turtle crossings.
Well, there's a sign for turtle crossings that apparently takes place in the summer. I don't know why the turtles will be crossing the road, though, because there's a big concrete barrier in the middle of the road. So if they do cross the road, they've got to turn around and go back. So it really doesn't seem... Why don't they put the barrier on the other side of the road if there's going to be a dead end for them? It just seems like you're wasting a lot of time. So, yeah, as you're entering Atlantic City, you see a sign warning you about turtle crossings. You see the wind turbines. You also see a whole lot of billboards cautioning you not to get an abortion for some reason. I don't know what that's all about. It's a weird place, really is.
I thought Atlantic City was on the coast, but I didn't realize it was, like, on a island, sort of islandish area with water in between, kind of like, you know, Fire Island is on the South Shore and stuff like that. It's like... You have to drive out to this, like, island area, and then that's the coast where the boardwalk in Atlantic City is. It was interesting.
Yeah, and, you know, we got there. In fact, we got all around. We asked our navigational system to avoid tolls. I wanted to see if we could get all the way down to Philadelphia from New York without paying a single toll. And we did. We were able to route our way through New York City, bypass the Verrazano Narrows Bridge, which I think is like $15, $18 now.
I couldn't believe that. Yeah, I could not believe that.
It's insane. So there are ways. It adds about a half hour to the trip, but we were taking Route 1, Route 9, and we made it all the way down South Jersey, Philadelphia, Atlantic City. I think you can pay a toll if you go to Atlantic City if you really want to, I think.
Well, we were into the drive, too. So adding time and roads that we hadn't been on more rural and just different scenery, all for the better for us.
Like, if it's just about the commute, yeah, you'll be bored. But if it's about the trip, you'll see all kinds of cool things.
Well, and it was just sort of a... continuation of all the things we do traveling on other modes of transportation. So we just made this extra road trip of it and gamifying it, you know, as we're tuning around, listening to good radio. Yeah, fine. Let's not pay extra money, especially at these really high amounts, if we can help it. And there is a way, and it's cool to try to leverage the technology and whatever knowledge we have of the area so that we can, you know, save a little bit and buy ice cream or something.
Yes, that's right. We found an Italian ice store. That was kind of cool. Listening to local radio, listening to some good radio, some bad radio, but just basically getting a sense as to what's out there. And you always hear something. You always hear something unusual and different. Yeah, you can listen to your playlist. You can listen to satellite. You can, you know, do all kinds of things like you do every single day. Or you could try something different and new. What I really would like to know, because we were kind of in more of a hurry to get back, but I am curious, has anybody figured out how to get back without paying a toll? Because I don't know how you would get to New York again. You have to go through either one of the tunnels, Lincoln Tunnel, Holland Tunnel, or the GW Bridge, or the Outer Bridge Crossing. They all have tolls. So I don't know. Do you go maybe all the way upstate and then cross over somewhere on the Hudson and then come back down? Has anybody ever done this? Please let us know. We want to know.
Yeah, what crossing north of the city would you use, or is there like something in like part of the industrial part of town? I don't even know.
There's got to be a way to do this. I mean, why do you have to pay a toll just to get from one place to another?
Well, and there's so many crossings. Both north and south of Manhattan and so on. And
yeah, but to get to Long Island, okay, you have to. How would you even get there? If you can get to the Queensboro Bridge or the Williamsburg Bridge or the Brooklyn Bridge or Manhattan Bridge, great. But you have to get to Manhattan to do that. How do you get to Manhattan from Jersey without paying a toll? Yeah, has anyone figured this out?
There's no way. There's only the Verrazano from Staten Island, right?
Well, you could take the Verrazano from Staten Island and not pay a toll because the toll is one direction. But to get to the Verrazano, you have to go through the Outer Bridge Crossing, and that's got a toll,
right? Okay,
in that direction. Huh. By the way, you know the story about the Outer Bridge crossing. It was named after a guy named, I'm not kidding, his last name was Outer Bridge. So they couldn't call it the Outer Bridge Bridge. So they called it the Outer Bridge Crossing. Look it up. It's true. Yeah.
That is too funny. And we ran into something similar to that with a radio station. Do you remember the call letters?
I don't remember the call letters. We were listening to a college radio station, a very low-power college radio station, but it reminded me of WUSB. I think it was something like 800 watts. And they had this long history of being a carrier current station, I think back in the 1970s, which is very similar to what we were. And they basically were getting service from record companies, or were getting all kinds of free records so they could put on all kinds of radio shows. And then they eventually got an FM license, and they were able to broadcast to a bigger area. And then we tuned in one day, and I guess the rest is history.
Yeah, I think it was WLFR.
Okay.
I'm checking really quickly, but they had a funny story about the call letters. Uh-huh. It was Lake.
It was named after
Fred. Lake Fred Radio.
No. Okay. Wait. Hold on a second. I'm remembering it now. The guy's name was Fred Lake. That's what it was.
And it was Lake Fred Radio, yeah.
And it was called Lake Fred because they couldn't call the lake Lake because they wanted to name the lake after Fred Lake.
It was.
But Lake doesn't work.
Stockton University's Stockton radio University. Station. There you go.
This is the kind of thing that happens when you just turn on the radio. Turn on the radio and you just explore and you find things. And you hear and if you're looking things up at the same time, you'll learn so much. You'll hear all kinds of incredible stories and see the history and see how stations have changed over the ages and just the variety. And you get inspired, too. You know, there's things that you you basically will try because you've heard something. We also something else going on right here that we talked about last week is the film festival taking place at Stony Brook Film Festival that is going on, I think, until Saturday. You know, we were in it last night, and that place was packed. I think
so
this thing has gotten bigger than they're running out of space.
Absolutely huge.
And you can fit 1,000 people in there, a lot of people.
And there is not a bad seat in the house.
There really isn't. No, you can. There's no pillars in the way.
We were like all the way in the back.
All the way in the back because we got there late.
And there were a ton of people there.
Ton of people. And here's the thing. If you recall, last night there was a bit of a severe weather forecast going on.
Oh.
In fact, on our way in, we were listening to WUSB, and what do you think we heard? We heard the EAS alert. We heard the emergency broadcasting sound.
Which sounded great.
It sounded scary, but yeah, you hear this disembodied voice.
Crystal clear. In
northwestern Suffolk County, there's a potential violent death. Yeah, all kinds of things that you know people are afraid of. And yeah, every radio station does this now. But in addition to every radio station doing this, now every phone does this as well. And sure enough, I knew this was going to happen. But there we are in the theater. The film is beginning. And everyone's phone is going off with these tones and lighting up and basically emergency alert. There's stay inside. You know, of course, we're all inside already. But it's just, it's annoying as hell because everybody's phone keeps going off. And I was really kind of getting annoyed. How hard is it to turn your damn phone off? You know, turn it to mute. That's what you're supposed to do. I already got my alert hours earlier or a half hour earlier. I couldn't understand why people just didn't know how to turn their phones to mute. And then I did a little bit of reading. It turns out that in their infinite wisdom, the engineers and the phone companies have designed it such that, okay, this is how it works. I'll try to explain this. When you have your phone, right, you have your ringer and your SMS alert and all that kind of thing, and you can mute it, or you can put it in vibrate, or you can have it ring. Like right now, my phone is not set to ring. It's set to something else. I'm not going to tell you if it's vibrate or if it's mute. It's one of the two. But that does not have any effect on emergency alert tones. Yeah, so you might mute your phone thinking that you're going to be a model citizen and not disturb anybody, and then your phone is going to blare out this EAS alert and annoy the hell out of everybody sitting near you who's going to say, why don't you turn your phone down? You can always turn your phone off. I guess that solves the problem, but it's not really what you want to do. You want to be able to know if an alert is coming through. So if you want your alert to be muted, you have to go into a different menu to mute or disable. I think it's disable the alerts. There does not seem to be a setting, and you know, if I'm wrong, somebody tell me, but there does not seem to be a setting that basically allows you to mute your ringer and your SMS alert while at the same time muting the alert for emergency alerts. You can either disable that or not disable that, but there's no way to simply turn your phone off and have that not make noise too. It's insane. I don't know who designed that. But that's obviously what you would want to be able to do.
Yeah, it leaves everyone at a disadvantage. And by, I think the 20th time, this woman behind me really barked at somebody to turn their phone off completely. Uh-huh. And was quite insulted that they had not yet done this, given how many other people were affected by it.
It could have been me. It could have been you.
Really awkward. No, I did not even have my phone on me at all.
Okay, if you lose your phone, I guess that's one way to around it.
Sure. I don't know where it was, but it was not in the theater.
Have you found it yet?
No, actually it's here. It's in my coat.
Okay. So if there is an emergency now, your phone's going to go off and annoy me.
Well, it's set to vibrate because we're
is
in
it
a
set to
radio
vibrate?
Studio, but see,
No. You see you see what I said?
I'm falling into that.
You set it to vibrate. Okay, you set your ring to vibrate. You didn't set your emergency alert to vibrate.
Oh.
And you can't just set it to vibrate. You have to either disable it or not disable it.
I'm such a sucker.
So if you turn your phone ringer back on, that doesn't make your emergency alerts come back. It's stupid.
Should I create an emergency just to like test this? Just
I'm sure we
quickly
already
while
have
we have a couple more minutes. I can what,
put the
what
wheels
should I
in
do?
Motion for that.
What should I do?
Well, you know, the weather looked kind of ominous outside. It's been interesting weather-wise. It really has. You know, a week ago,
30 degree change.
30
right?
degree change. Is that Celsius or Fahrenheit?
I think Fahrenheit.
Yeah, it would have to be Fahrenheit, right?
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. But last Wednesday, we were in the city, and it was basically, again, the alerts were going off, and there's all kinds of rain and evil thunder and things like that. And then we had the heat, and now we had another storm. I don't know what's next. I think it's going to be kind of boring.
Whatever kind of cataclysm can occur, we'll report it to you, and we'll see. I don't know. People really got mad at Con Edison, though. Apparently, when we were coming back,
yes,
late at night, Brooklyn, no power.
No power in Brooklyn.
This is like
well,
the second
I mean, there was
outage.
Power. Well, certain areas.
40,000 customers and more people. 70,000 people. It was substantial.
Yeah.
And really, gosh, I just remember driving it at night and seeing all this lightning. We were basically chasing the storm. And it was really turbulent and dynamic and kind of beautiful to see as well.
I tried to catch up to that storm. I couldn't do it. It was ahead of me.
You know, you didn't mention the 50th anniversary of the moon landing.
I knew there was something else. Yeah, the moon landing. That was the other thing that while we were in southern New Jersey at the auto show and in Philadelphia and Atlantic City, all around us was talk of the lunar landing in 1969, 50 years ago. Wow. It was just kind of cool to always be hearing talk of that. And, of course, the moon made an appearance as part of the celebration. It was up. It was lit. And that was really kind of cool to see. Thinking, you know, so many years ago, and that flag is probably still there. And we should check, make sure it's okay.
I think we will. Yeah, I think there's plans to go up and check on it. And come back, so maybe they'll add another star or something.
They are going to come back. Okay,
yeah,
that wasn't definite.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, the robots I think get to stay, but the people come back. And
India is on the way to the moon. Do you know
they're
that?
Going to the moon? Yep.
I don't know why it's taking them so long. They're not going to get there, I think, till September.
Oh,
they're going the long way or something.
Yeah.
I mean, it took Apollo 11 3 days to get there. So how does it take them 2 months to get there? I don't understand that.
Maybe it's a smaller craft of sorts with less propulsion
or slow.
Yeah, I think the manned flight, they really, really wanted to get there quickly because they had people that, you know, had to go to the bathroom and want to, you know, eat a sandwich and stuff. And, you know, that the unmanned things can take longer. Maybe that it's something like that. I don't know.
So, you know, they left trash on the moon.
Yeah, they jettisoned.
Yeah, they jettisoned trash because, you know, every ounce counts.
Well, I don't understand how Neil Armstrong's spacesuit gets sold at auction, right, and they left his spacesuit on the moon.
They left a spacesuit on the moon?
Well, wasn't that part of the trash that got jettisoned? There were a couple things I was hearing, like Walter Cronkite say.
I don't think they'd leave their spacesuit behind. That's
well,
kind
that's
of important.
Just it. Didn't it get auctioned off or somebody was, I don't know, they were talking about restoring it and or maybe it got donated to a museum.
Yeah, but how could either one be done if it's on the moon?
Was it or maybe some Mike Pence gave it to a museum? I don't know who did what, but basically I want to know exactly which suits and what trash got left, because maybe it was just, I think it was the boots to reduce contamination. It was something like
you
that.
You don't need boots on the spacecraft
that
heading back to
it.
Earth. There's no reason you need boots.
Yeah, they left their shoes in the command module and then left that or jettisoned from that or something.
Wait, didn't
like
they need the command module to get off the ground? You know, isn't that something that...
Okay, in the lander. They left it in the lander and then separated the lander.
Okay, all right.
Well, anyway, it was really cool to see a lot of the footage and hear the coverage. A lot of people were playing the coverage in real time.
Yes.
So at the very moment that this, the footsteps and all of that occur, the footage on television was lining up with that. And it's great to remember that. And I encourage people, if you haven't and you have relatives that lived through this, ask them what they think of it. I was curious and asking some of my family and relatives, you know, what they thought of it and how it inspired them. And it's really cool to hear those stories. And, you know, just ask somebody you know, do you remember where you were when the moon landing occurred? And you might get some interesting reactions. That was a really cool thing to talk about with people, too.
Yeah, I remember as a little kid, it was on TV. It was the year the Mets won. That's all I remember, really. Well, I mean, the Mets winning is a bigger deal. They've won less times than we've gone to the moon.
Yeah, why do you have to upstage it?
I'm just indicating how important it was.
There's Mets fans cheering there right
and,
now.
And that's what a lot of people don't realize. We've gone to the moon several times, too. Apollo 11, 12, 13. I don't know how many there were, but there were a bunch.
And the Mets can't say that.
And then we've got bored. Yeah, the Mets won twice, and that's it.
Mm.
All right, well, you know.
Can we end the show on, like, a pleasant...
Of course, yeah. Now, this whole talk of Trump obliterating Afghanistan from the face of the earth, I think that's something that we should study just a little bit. Afghanistan is curious what the United States meant by that. Basically, did you watch this? Basically, Trump was appearing with the Prime Minister of Pakistan, Imran Khan, at the White House. This was on Monday. And he's just basically bragging about how, if we wanted to fight the war in Afghanistan and win it, I could win that war in a week. I just don't want to kill 10 million people. That is his bar. That's like him saying, I'm such a good person. I could kill 10 million people, but I probably don't want to do that. That's what he says now. What's he going to say next week?
And he can't help himself from like self-congratulating. I mean, that's just thrown in there as a side effect of this.
Imagine if Iran or somebody said, you know, we could obliterate you off the face of the earth, Donald Trump, but we don't want to do that. he might look at that as a bit of a threat or something that makes him a little bit uneasy. To say that to an entire nation of people that he could wipe 10 million people off the face of the earth, but chooses not to, so they should bow down and thank Donald Trump for allowing them to live? Wow. And then the other thing he said in that press conference was that India wanted him to mediate in the dispute with Pakistan over Kashmir. And later, a spokesman for India's Ministry of External Affairs said that no such request has been made by the leadership there. So it just gets more and more bizarre and crazy as the weeks go by. But that was a bit unsettling to see that happening.
Yeah, that was. It's just again the gamesmanship and stuff that they're playing with. I mean, it is. and the tankers, of course, all the seizures of tankers. The craziness of what all of these missteps have led to and what isn't getting done as a result, it's kind of boggles the mind. But, yeah, keep up with it, and we'll report any other developments. And the weird gets weirder.
Yeah. I mean, right now it's just a bunch of posturing. And, they're going to – it's like cops – with a speed trap, basically stopping everybody. It's their territory. It's their land. Yeah, technically, they're over the water and different, but it's close. It's so close. If it was over here, we'd be doing the same exact thing. So as long as people just don't lose their cool, I think we'll get through this, because there's a lot of idiots in charge right now, and I think we can all agree Trump is basically trying to start things. And by sabotaging the deal and by basically ripping Iran off, that's what's happening. That's, you know, they're becoming more and more desperate because their money's being taken away from them when they were living up to the agreement.
We can't be surprised.
We cannot be surprised. Absolutely. This is something that maybe we can be surprised by, and it's kind of a nice note to end on. Comes from Tennessee, one of my favorite states. Okay. Neighbors of a father and son in the Nashville area linked arms around their van so they could enter their home and avoid immigration and customs enforcement. The people at ICE. Hermitage, Tennessee. Residents had noticed an unmarked white F-150 truck lurking around their neighborhood for a few weeks. Yesterday, it came alive with flashing red and blue lights. The agents had followed a van as it pulled into a driveway, spent about 4 hours coaxing its father and son occupants to exit and come with them. "You'll have to exit eventually," they reportedly told the duo. Then at about 7:30 a.m., the ICE agents requested Nashville police presence just to make sure things didn't heat up. Neighbors were having none of it. They rallied around the two, bringing water, cold rags, and sandwiches. They also filled the gas tank so the two could keep the air conditioning on. At some point, local councilman Bob Mendez arrived, having been contacted by an immigration advocate. There's certainly been a lot of rhetoric out of Washington, D.C. about more ICE enforcement, he said. So he figured he should see it for himself. The neighbors and bystanders, about 10 of them in all, eventually linked arms and formed a blockade around the van so the man and his 12-year-old son could get into their house. Simple thing like that. The ICE agents drove away to de-escalate the situation. They had requested a police presence, but Nashville police were on hand only to keep the peace, not to act as ICE agents. The Davidson County Sheriff's Office does not in any way participate in immigration and customs enforcement raids, including housing those detained by ICE during those raids in Davidson or any other county, unlike quite a few other sheriff's departments that we've reported on. The only individuals housed in our jails are those who are booked on local criminal charges and subsequently wanted by ICE. Upon receipt of a detainer and a warrant, in accordance with state law, the individual is transferred to ICE custody. ICE had told police the two were pulled over in a traffic stop and refused to go to the side of the road. But according to media, the ICE agents were armed only with a civil warrant, which means they can't enter the home. Those who interfered were not committing a crime. These are important things to remember. I think it's a proud moment for people of Tennessee to be able to stand up to that and to do the right thing. And taking care of people is always the right thing to do. It really is. And we've let a lot of our humanity slip away lately. We forget what's written on the Statue of Liberty. And I think it takes people like that to remind us occasionally that there are other ways to deal with these problems rather than being cold and heartless.
Yeah, but we are much more powerful than we realize, I think, often. And so, get together and support one another.
Yeah, it can happen in Tennessee. It can happen anywhere. Not that there's anything that unusual about Tennessee. It's the victim of a lot of labeling, I think. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Oh, yeah. Listening to local radio, listening to a couple of Indian stations in the area. Sometimes you find a treasure, and this is one of them. We'll see you next week. OTW at 2600.com. Good night. Oh,
दुनिया दीवानी लगे कितनी सुहानी लगे कर दे जवानी बैंग बैंग गाऊं मैं गीत कोई सबकी कहानी लगे याद ही पुरानी बैंग बैंग सारी फिजा
नचे नचे
सारा जहां
नचे नचे
सारे हंसी
नचे नचे
सारे जवां
नचे नचे
होके दीवाना नाच नाचे जमाना नाच होके दीवाना नाच ला
तुमसे है तो